The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله JVS Ramadani channel, another day, another new episode of our program, The Second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Today, alhamdulillah, we've brought another dimension of the seerah of Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, through which we will try to see what great personality he, radiyallahu anhu, possessed and what great attributes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed our master, our guide, the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu with. Today in particular, we'll be talking about the acts of worship and how devout worshipper Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was. As the more superior one gets in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more ranks he attains, the more devout worshipper he becomes in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time, he also instructs others to perform the worship of Allah Almighty. He also makes efforts to bring other people towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So all these attributes, alhamdulillah, we see to the highest degree in the personality of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and we can take great guiding pearls of wisdom from his seerah in terms of evaluating ourselves that how much do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, when we talk about worshipping Allah Almighty, there are different forms of worship. There's offering of salah, there's reciting of the Quran, there is inquiring after the ill, there is fasting in the court of Allah Almighty, and then there are other forms of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So when you become pious, when you attain higher ranks in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all these elements are devotionally and devotedly found in your character. But when we talk about our master, our leader, the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, we see that he was a personification of perfection of worship. We see him to be a true guide, a beacon of guidance for the ummah in terms of how a person should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stay with us till the end, and insha'Allah azawajal, we will cover some of the acts of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu and try to learn some pearls of wisdom from his seerah as to how can we also improve our acts of worship and how can we attain elevated ranks in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before moving any further, as per our routine, let's first of all enlighten our hearts by listening to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There's a beautiful hadith mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah, which the renowned spiritual guide and the leader of Ahlul Sunnah, Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Hafizahullah Ta'ala, has mentioned in his beautiful work entitled Blessings of Salat and Salam. On its page number 2, he has mentioned this hadith of Sunan Ibn Majah, hadith number 907, where it says that the angels keep sending mercies upon a Muslim until he continues to recite Salat upon me. Now, it is the person's choice whether he recites less or more. Allahu Akbar. So a person is enveloped with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for as long as he keeps sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Such a beautiful blessing we find in this hadith regarding sending salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah include us amongst those who send salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The topic of the day is the acts of worship of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. When we look at the seerah of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, we see him to be a great devout worshipper, someone who left a great legacy for the entire Ummah to follow in relation to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how resolute and how firm one should be in worshipping Allah Almighty. It is stated that Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was the firmest in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Ummah. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself also mentioned this, where Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu states that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated that Ashaddu ummati fi amrillahi ta'ala Umar, meaning that in the matters of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most firm ummati of mine is Umar. SubhanAllah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself is mentioning regarding Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu that in the matters of fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the matters of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most firm upon it out of my ummah is Umar. Now when we talk about the taqwa, the piety, the righteousness that he possessed, we come to know that one main characteristic for this is being disinterested in this world, being averse to this world. And this also was greatly found in the seerah of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh. Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anh states that neither did Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh embrace Islam before us, neither did he migrate before us, but he was someone who was most disinterested in this dunya, in this world out of us, and someone who had most concern for the hereafter out of us. Allahu Akbar. Even a Sahabi like Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, who embraced Islam before Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, who migrated before Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, even he is saying this for Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, that neither did he embrace Islam before us, nor did he migrate before us, but yet he still was someone who was most disinterested in this dunya, in this world than us, and someone who had most concern for the hereafter. Sharing further the viewers of Madani channel, the element of taqwa, the element of piety, this is the main ingredient, you can say, for the character of any pious person. And it also entails a person to instruct others to perform pious deeds and refrain from evils. Doing pious deeds oneself is one thing, but then giving invitation towards righteousness to other people is another thing. And this is something again that you would find in the nature, in the character of the pious bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, same is the case with Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, where not only he himself was pious and righteous, but he would also give the same mindset, and he would bequest other Sahaba alayhim wa ridwan for piety as well. So Sayyidina Yahya bin Ja'da rahmatullah alayhi states that once Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu passed by Sayyidina Yasar rahmatullah alayhi, he said salam to him, and then he said that وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأُسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ, meaning that I swear an oath by the Lord besides whom there is no other God. Allah, there is none worthy of worship except Him, and I request you of fearing Allah. So Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh is also amongst those who would bequest others to fear Allah Almighty, to observe taqwa, to observe piety, to observe righteousness. And a person who doesn't have taqwa himself, how can he instruct others to adopt it? But when we talk about Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, not only did he possess taqwa, but he was the leader of those who had taqwa. He was the leader of the pious. So he would also have piety himself and also instruct others. At one occasion, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh said, "Karamul mu'mini taqwa," meaning that the honor of a believer is taqwa, is piety, is righteousness. And this very saying of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh was pointing towards this very verse of the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hujurat, verse number 13, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum," meaning indeed the most honorable of you in the court of Allah is the most pious one among you. So this saying of the Quran is something based upon which the life of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh revolved, and even the sayings of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh reflected the sayings of the Holy Quran. So Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, he deemed taqwa, piety, righteousness as something which is honor for a believer. And this is exactly what we find in the Holy Quran as well. So we come to know that the sayings of the righteous predecessors also reflect the teachings of the Quran, the teachings of Islam. So whenever we find any saying of our noble elders, of any saint of Allah, any companion of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we should understand that it would be reflecting Quran and Hadith, and we should try to act upon it. At one occasion, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu said that az-zuhdu fi dunya rahatul qalbi wal badan, meaning being disinterested from this world is tranquility, is comfort for the heart and the body. A great comprehensive saying of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and a great tip for us if we also want to attain tranquility of heart, if we also want to attain the comfort of our heart. So being disinterested from this dunya is something that is deemed as tranquility, as a comfort of heart and body. Now, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was also a personality in the company of whom people would stay in order to attain taqwa. This is who Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was. Now, we covered the element of being pious yourself, then instructing others to be pious, and then narrating the importance of piety. But now there are certain people who would remain in the company of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu to attain piety. This was the level at which Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was. So Sayyidina Miswar bin Makhrama rahmatullah alayhi states that quite often we would remain in the company of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu so that we could learn piety, we could learn righteousness, what taqwa is. So by staying in the company of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, people would also learn what taqwa is. So in other words, the blessed life of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was a lesson for others that what taqwa is. You want to understand taqwa, then look at how Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu lived his life. So people would just adopt his company to understand the definition of taqwa, so that they can also imitate him, so that they could also follow him, they can also act upon those practices which Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is acting upon, and so that they can attain a better understanding of the term taqwa, of the term piety. Now, dear Vida Madani channel, let's talk about Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu and his passion for offering salah. When it comes to offer salah, what was the state of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu? In what state would he offer salah? Sayyidina Abdullah bin Shaddad radiallahu anhu states that once Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu led us in Fajr Salah, and during the recitation he recited Surah Yusuf. And during his recitation, when he arrived at verse number 84, which is, and his eyes became white from grief, so he suppressed his sorrow. So when Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he reached this very verse, then he started to cry bitterly. He started to weep bitterly. And after he stopped crying, then he performed ruku. This is the status of the salah of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. He was so much into the recitation of Quran that he was practically reflecting the meanings of the verses of Quran. And what is our state, dear viewers of Madani channel? Even if we do offer salah, how much concentration do we have in our salah? But look at Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, that when the verse of shedding tears comes, that when the verse of being sorrowful comes, the same state dominates Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. He also starts crying, shedding tears bitterly, and only after he has shed tears he performs ruku. This is the greatness of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. During the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam led salah, then sometimes what he alayhi salatu wasalam would do is that if the people would come early, then he would offer salah early. He would lead the salah early. If people would take time, they would be a bit late. Then the Prophet ﷺ would offer salah a bit late. He would lead the salah a bit late. And sometimes this would also happen that people have already gathered, but he would offer salah late. So these few scenarios took place regarding the leading of salah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So once what happened was that the Sahaba, they had gathered to offer salah, and it had been quite a while, and the Prophet ﷺ had not arrived yet. So after quite a long time passed, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, he went in the court of the Prophet ﷺ and said that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, women and children have fallen asleep, indicating towards the Sahaba waiting for him in salah. Now the Prophet ﷺ after that arrived, and he said that on the face of the earth, there is no one who waits for salah, for this salah. Prophet ﷺ is saying this to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, and he carries on to say that you are in the state of salah until you are waiting for salah. Subhanallah. What a great glad tiding the Prophet ﷺ gave to Sir Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh over here regarding waiting for salah as well, that you are in the state of salah until you are waiting for salah as well. Sayyidina Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu anh, he mentions that kana Umar ibn al-Khattabi yuhibbu salata fi kabid al-layl, meaning Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh liked to perform salah in the middle part of the night. This is what Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh liked. And dear viewers, Madani Channel, what is our state? We hardly offer salah on time at the first place. We're talking about Isha salah, about Fajr salah, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib. What is our state when it comes to offering salah? But Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, what his likeness was to offer salah in the middle part of the night, when we all are perhaps fast asleep. At that very moment of time, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh liked to offer salah, liked to bow down in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of our Lord, our Creator. What is our state? We need to reflect upon our state in the light of all these accounts of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, and see where exactly do we stand when it comes to offering salah. Where exactly do we stand when it comes to offering salah with humility and humbleness, when it comes to offering salah with full concentration, when it comes to offering salah with understanding and with comprehension of what exactly are we reciting, or making an effort at the first place to understand what exactly is meant by what we recite in salah. So there's a lot for us to reflect upon. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anh, he was that personality that if he would see any gap in the rows, then he would correct them. And when he radiallahu anh would see that all the rows have straightened and there's no more gap between people in the rows and the shoulders of people are meeting each other's shoulders, then he radiallahu anh would step forward and say the takbir. And it was his habit that in the morning salah, in the Fajr salah, he radiallahu anh would often recite Surah Yusuf and Surah An-Nahl. And in the first rak'ah, in the first unit of salah, he radiallahu anh would recite the Quran a bit more, so that those people who are to join afterwards, they can also come and join salah. So this was the blessed practice of Sayyidina Farooq Adam radiallahu anh. And for Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anh, salah was the most important thing. The most important task for Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh was salah. And this was also one of the criterions that he had set to judge people, or to measure the ranks of people. So Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhim, they narrate from Sayyidina Nafi' radiallahu anh that the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, he wrote to the governors of his provinces, of his cities, that amongst all the tasks that you have for me, the most important task is salah. So whoever preserved it, he preserved his deen, his religion, and whoever wasted it, meaning whoever did not preserve his salah, then he would waste other rights to a higher degree. So this is the mindset of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. This is that criterion, that testing scale, the measuring scale that he has set for judging people, for determining the levels of his own governors that he has appointed over other cities. That the one who preserves his salah, he has preserved his religion. And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is saying that the one who wasted his salah, he would waste other rights even to a higher degree. Look at the parameters that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu has set over here. It is salah, as in the person who does not preserve his salah, which other rights is he going to fulfill? A salah is the most important of the rights. So the one who doesn't have importance for salah, what importance would he have for other rights? So someone who's wasting or violating the right of salah, he would be doing the same with other rights to a higher degree. So salah was the measuring scale for Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. So then Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu in Fajr salah would either recite Surah Hajj or Surah Yusuf or Surah Nahl. And the reason being again would be so that the people who join afterwards, they can also join the Jama'ah, the congregation of salah. Now dear viewers of Madani channel, let's talk about the remembrance of Allah. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu would perform. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu would also perform the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. His tongue would remain moist with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at most of the times. Sayyidina Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullahi alayhi says, "Kana aktharu kalami Umar Allahu Akbar," meaning that the statement that would be upon the tongue of Umar radiallahu anhu, the most would be Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. The statement that would remain upon the tongue of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, most of the times would be Allahu Akbar. We can imagine that how much zikr of Allah Almighty Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu would perform. Now when we talk about his passion for observing fasts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was also second to none. Amirul Mu'mineen Farooq al-Azam radiallahu anhu, he was already someone who would eat very, very less, and this is the reason why he also had a very slim and smart body. And in his last days of his life, of his physical life, he radiallahu anhu kept fast abundantly. He kept fast consecutively. Therefore, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, his son, he says that the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he kept continuous fast, consecutive fast before his passing away. Before the time of his passing arrived, in those days, he kept consecutive fasts. Now, there's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that again shows the greatness of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu and shows us the passion he possessed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam where it is mentioned regarding certain acts, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked his ardent devotees, his companions, that who amongst you performed this action today, then who amongst you performed this action today, and so on and so forth. So those very actions, and who gave the response afterwards, what was the response? Let's go through that beautiful hadith. So Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that once the mercy of the mankind, the jewel of prophethood, the final messenger of Allah, the seal of the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, said to his ardent devotees, to his companions, alayhi wa ridwan, that man shahida minkumul yawma janaza, meaning that who amongst you today participated in a funeral salah, in a janaza. To this, Sayyidina Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, he responded that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I participated in a janaza today. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked, Man aada minkum maridun, meaning that who amongst you inquired after an ill today. To this again, Sayyidina Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu replied that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I did. Then again, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked, Man tasaddaqa, meaning who amongst you performed charity today? who amongst you gave sadaqah today? Again, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I did. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked again, Man asbaha sa'iman? Meaning, who amongst you has kept a fast today? Again, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Faruqi A'zam radiallahu anhu replied, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I have kept a fast today. I am observing fast today. To this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, Wajabat, wajabat. Meaning that, O Umar, for you, paradise has become wajib. It is wajib for you, the paradise has become wajib for you. SubhanAllah. Even in this hadith, the Abiyas of Madani channel, we can see the passion of worship that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu had. On the same day, he is participating in a funeral salah. On the same day, he has given charity. On the same day, he is inquired after an ill person. On the same day, he is also observed fast. SubhanAllah. All these actions he's performing on the same day. And throughout our today's episode, we've tried to cover his passion for different acts of worship. How he would offer salah, how would he would recite the Quran, how would he observe fast, and how on the same day he would perform multiple acts of piety that makes paradise wajib upon a person. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he kept asking these questions, Sir Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was the one who kept replying that Ya Rasulullah, I did this, Ya Rasulullah, I did this. Upon which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, gave him the glad tidings that, oh Umar, paradise has become wajib for you. So dear viewers of Madani channel, in the light of all this, the question arises that what is our state of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When it comes to offer salah, what is our state? When it comes to recite the Quran, what is our state? When it comes to fast in the month of Ramadan, what is our state? When it comes to inquire after the ill people, what is our state? When it comes to help the poor through charity, what is our state? We need to question ourselves, dear viewers of Madani channel. When we're fasting, and let's say it's hot weather, scorching heat, then all of a sudden we start thinking twice before fasting. Why, dear viewers of Madani channel? Why? It is command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fast in the month of Ramadan, whether it is hot or not, whether it is easy for us or not. The passion to worship Allah Almighty will lead us towards performing that very action, i.e. fasting in hot weather with ease. It is that mindset, that passion of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes the acts of worship easy for us. Waking up in cold nights of winter and performing tahajjud salah. Waking up very early in the morning during winter and performing wudu to offer fajr salah. All this requires a passion to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing should hinder in between our acts of worship and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There shouldn't be any obstacle. In fact, our passion and our iman should remove all the obstacles and hindrances that come in between us and the acts of worship. We should follow the footsteps and seerah of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devotionally and become a devout worshipper. And our iman should remove all the hindrances, all the obstacles that come in between us and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should develop a zeal, a passion to worship our Lord, our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we learn from the seerah of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu and dear viewers of Madani channel. In today's episode, we've very briefly tried to cover a few aspects of the seerah of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu in terms of what a great devout worshipper he was, that people would even stay in his company just to understand what taqwa was. So we also need to better ourselves, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devotionally, and pray Allah Almighty that may He enable us to also follow in the footsteps of Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anh. May Allah Almighty shower his choicest of mercies and blessings upon the blessed shrine of our master, our leader, the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anh. And may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu.